Hello, I'm Michael Bazzolongo, and welcome to another edition of Bible Talk. Today we're going to talk about baptism.
Okay.
That's a good subject. Right. When we talk about baptism, and when I mention that word, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Baby.
Babies, right. That's our, I think, a traditional idea that we have. And in many countries, when you talk about baptism, you see a little baby, you see a priest or minister putting water on their forehead, so on and so forth. Well, today, we're going to find out the biblical idea of baptism. So stay with us right here. We'll be back in one moment. Well, the thing that I want to know is, where do we go to find out about baptism? Right. Popular mechanics, you know.
I think we go back to the book that talks about how it's done, where it's done.
Exactly. If you want the final authority on a definition of a word, well, we go to the dictionary. If you want a phone number, you go to the final authority, the phone book,
right.
You know, the yellow pages. And I think the final authority concerning a religious matter.
Right.
Is God's word, the Bible.
I'm going to put him on the spot now. Have you got a scripture that backs up this idea?
that backs up the idea that...
Yeah, we go to the Bible.
The Bible?
Yeah.
Well, of course, there's 2 Timothy 3:16. We speak about that verse often.
Well, he got a...
And,
yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16.
Verse 16, where Paul is saying that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, training in righteousness.
Okay.
And so, if it's God-breathed, well then, God must know what he's doing.
Right.
It's the final authority.
It's the final authority. Okay, there's another scripture too that's interesting, and that's Galatians. We need to always look at Galatians. Chapter 1, verse 6, 7, and 8, something like that. Where Paul is saying, he says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So even at that time, some people were trying to change things around. But then he says, but even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. So Paul really comes down hard. He says, hey, you know, it doesn't matter if it's an angel or a vision or anything. What's important is we have to keep the teachings of Christ the way they are. And I think that's on all subjects, including baptism. Okay, so I think that's a good introduction.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to play by the rules, the Bible rules, to find out about Bible things. Baptism is a Bible thing, so we're going to look to the Bible. Okay.
And Bible only.
And Bible only.
And another verse that does apply, this kind of leads us into our topic for today,
okay,
is Matthew 28, verses 18, where Jesus is saying, I have all authority.
Right.
God has given me all authority.
Right.
And so he introduces... A specific idea here about baptism and disciples and his authority.
Okay, and that brings us to our first question. Who should be baptized? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So who should be baptized?
That's people from all nations.
Okay.
And
which,
also
which
that's,
people?
That, yeah, all nations. And as well, that's the fulfillment of the prophecy that said that salvation would be accessible to all the nations as well.
Right.
That the Savior would extend throughout, and not just to the Jews.
You know? Okay.
But just certain people in all nations?
Yeah, just
or so
just
like out into all the world, all the
say,
nations.
But if we go on in the Bible, we can see that in Mark 16, 15, 16.
Good. All right.
We have some information there on who should be baptized.
Okay, Mark 16. Somebody want to read that? Mark 16, 16.
Let me read that.
Okay.
15, 16. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.
Okay, so everyone should be baptized. Now, which everyone?
All those that want to be saved.
Okay. Who does that eliminate?
The unbelievers.
Eliminates the unbelievers.
Right.
Eliminates another category.
The children.
Believe what, though?
Those who can't.
That's
believe.
The thing. Those who, just, you know, to say believe what.
Okay.
When it does say those who believe.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
Then I always ask myself, believe what?
Okay, good question. Believe
you
what?
You know, what is it that we're believing? That Jesus was the Son of God? I would tend to believe that it means believe that the sacrifice was for the forgiveness of your sins.
All right.
Therefore, we're baptized for that very reason.
I think if we look at Acts 2:36, Peter mentions exactly what we have to identify as us creation from God. You know.
It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified.
Yeah, so that's what we have to believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who can believe that?
Right.
Those ones that are able to believe.
And that's why in Mark it says, in Matthew, instruct them to obey everything that I have commanded you.
Right.
The learning becomes a little bit deeper as you go into it.
Okay.
So finally, basically what we're saying is that those who can be baptized from what we've seen is those who can believe.
Right.
And those who choose to believe.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, that leaves out children that can't believe. That leaves out also maybe intellectually disadvantaged people.
Right.
That cannot choose on their own.
That's right.
Right.
You know.
Okay. I think also in Mark 16:15-16, it also talks about those who believe something specific. And I think Morris brought out this idea. People who can believe, people who choose to believe, but also people who believe the right thing.
That's right.
You know, you're not baptized because you believe that Montreal Canadiens are a good hockey team. You know,
that's what I think is beautiful about the scripture, is that the New Testament salvation, what it preaches is that everyone is able to be saved. The guy in the wheelchair, the intellect, the scholar, the doctor, the plumber, everyone just, it's a matter of believing.
Right. You know, yeah, it's fair.
It's a beautiful thing.
I want to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, to look at a kind of another idea here. We're still, you know, we're still answering the question, who should be baptized? So we said the person who chooses to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the first thing. And everyone who makes that belief, it doesn't matter if he's black, white, if he's disadvantaged, if he's a nobleman, it doesn't matter. What matters is what he believes. And if he believes Jesus is the Son of God, that gives him access to baptism. All right, now, go ahead.
Well, if you give me the opportunity, though, I did hear an argument once that says, well, okay, it does say believe and be baptized, and you're saying children can't believe, but why wouldn't it be baptized and believe? It's just that they couldn't put both words, you know, on the same place.
We'll believe later.
So, yeah, so, I don't know, maybe, why couldn't we be baptized before?
I say that unless the conversion is, it has to be a New Testament conversion. We have to have a saving faith. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it that you believe at the age of infancy or at the age of 1 month?
Well, I just need to make a little parenthesis here. If we believe that the Bible is inspired by God, then God is the one who said, believe and be baptized.
Right,
it's not up to, well, maybe they couldn't get it on one line.
Right,
it's something impossible for God. He said, believe and be baptized. He didn't say be baptized and believed. You know, it's clear.
There's also a natural sequence. I mean, there's no way, it might be stupid, but when you wash yourself, you get wet, and then you put your soap, and then you got to clean that soap up with water. There's no way you can
dry off first.
That's right.
Well, that's
so if you look at the natural sequence of things, there's no way you can be buried in water in baptism before understanding or
what you're going to do.
We were talking a while ago that the final authority in things is the Bible.
Right.
It's a nice illustration, and there's something very valid to be learned. But I think the scripture is plain. Okay, Mark 16:16, they put belief first before baptism. But in Acts chapter 8, when Philip went out to preach the gospel to the eunuch, he said, well, what prevents me from being baptized? And his answer to him in chapter 8, verse 37 was, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may be baptized.
Right.
So it was not, there was no question about it. If you believe, you may.
You may.
That's a good example of taking a worldly illustration and backing it up with the Bible.
Amen.
That's the way you should study the Bible, I think.
Exactly.
Good point, Mike. I mean, it's not only one passage, but
it's a lot of passages.
Yeah, you just add.
Yeah, a lot of passages. Well, I need to push ahead here. In Acts 2:38, Peter says to the crowd who asked Peter about salvation, he said to them, repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. So there's another, you know, who is to be baptized? Those people who repent. So those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and those who repent now are able to accept baptism. Well, we need to go ahead here. I want to ask another question, and it is this. Why should people be baptized? Why should they do this? We know who.
Well,
now why?
It says it in the scripture. It says, so that their sins may be forgiven.
Okay, good. Anything else? Is that the only reason we're baptized?
I think Romans 6 clearly explains why we're baptized into Christ.
Okay.
it says...
So that we may walk in newness of life? Is that the passage?
Right. It says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we, who died to sin, still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?
Yes. Right.
So we identify with his death. We become... We are clothing ourselves with Christ, it says in Galatians.
Okay. It's our way of reliving the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay.
And we're always prompt and ready to do whatever God says, you know, and do this and don't say that and watch these things. But, you know, I mean, he's telling us here how to be, get saved.
Right.
And he's telling us we should do it. Mm-hmm. So the first reason is because God says so. Uh-huh.
Right. For obedience sake. In order to receive forgiveness. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, Paul says, all those who have been
clothed,
buried with Christ in baptism have
put on Christ.
Put on Christ.
Yeah.
So it's
the
moment when that first union, it's like when you, who mentioned marriage? Somebody mentioned that idea, that marriage. You know, you're married when you, you know, you sign that paper, you say, I do. That's the moment you're married. Everything else before that is just a building up to that moment. Well, we don't have much time in this section here.
Does
go ahead.
Does a public declaration have anything to do with that?
I think so. I think it's a public declaration of our faith. You know, I think that's part of it too.
Because we're confessing the name of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that public way.
Yeah.
I need to ask this third question here. When? When should a person be baptized?
When he's willing to submit himself to those things which the scriptures teach about baptism, I think.
Right.
Because you have to believe, you have to repent, and you have to be willing to confess your faith.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
Again, with the story with the eunuch, when the eunuch believed, he says, if you believe that the Son, that Jesus is the Son of God,
that's right.
Then you know, he says, where's water? You know, there's mm-hmm. water. What stops me from being baptized?
Mm-hmm.
If you believe...
Mm-hmm.
You may.
Mm-hmm.
There's no better commitment for doing something when you understand what you're doing. When a person is baptized when he's too young or does not understand what he's getting into, there's a big problem there.
Yeah, so
a soldier, when he goes to war, if he knows what he's going to war for, I mean, it's a different soldier than if he was just asked and or forced to go.
We're going to continue our discussion here. You stay with us. We'll be right back in one moment. Well, in our class today, we've looked at the who and the why and the what of baptism. Now we're going to look at the where and the how. First of all, the where. In the New Testament, whenever people became Christians, they always were baptized in water. Salvation and baptism go together. When someone decided that they were going to become a Christian, they were going to repent of their sins, confess the name of Christ, become one of his disciples, the very next thing they would do was to be baptized in water. In Acts chapter 8, verse 35, we see Philip, an evangelist, preaching the gospel to an individual. And when these two people came by a river, the person said to Philip, "Here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" If we read the story, we find out that Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So baptism and water go together. Now, the other question is, how should a person be baptized? Well, that one's easy. In the Bible, the word baptism is a Greek word which is baptizo, and the Greek word baptizo means to plunge or to immerse. And so when we baptize somebody, we plunge them or we immerse them in water. Well, today we have an example of a New Testament baptism here in our baptistry, in our church. And so we'd like for you to take a look at how someone would be baptized if they were baptized according to the New Testament.
Morris, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes, I do.
Well, upon the confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins.
That's an example of New Testament baptism. If someone is going to be baptized according to the Bible, this is the way that it should be done. Well, we're going to come back in a moment and begin to answer some of your questions about baptism. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
That we kind of tend to forget, but that is very important, that, you know, a lot of people have kind of misleads on that, is that we get the Holy Spirit after the baptism when our sins are forgiven.
Right.
That's another very large reason why we should be baptized.
Yeah. That's Acts 2:38 again. Yeah.
You were saying earlier that how can God send His Holy Spirit in an unclean vessel,
right,
such as our body that has not been cleansed by sins?
Uh-huh.
Because Paul, that's what Ananias told Paul in Acts chapter 22. He said, "And why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and have your sins washed away."
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
You know?
Well, I've got some questions for you. That's a good point, Dick. I have some questions. You know, whenever you have a Bible study with someone and you discuss this particular topic, I've found that there are certain questions that come up over and over again. I'd like to kind of test you a little bit and see how you're going to answer these questions. First great question: what happens to babies and children who are not baptized? There's a question I'm asked a lot. What happens to little babies not baptized?
Well, for one, they don't have sin, so the whole point of baptism is to wash away sin.
Okay.
Well, one of the points, anyway. And if they have no sin, well, then they're cleansed. They're still with God. They're a child of God.
Right.
Because Jesus had mentioned one time, He says, you know, do not hinder the children from coming unto Me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Right. Matthew 19:14. I was just going to say, do you have a scripture back
there? There you go.
Nice to talk.
Good job.
Good job. She was covered.
Well, there's another passage in Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 20, actually. I think it's 20. I'll just check.
All right.
Verse 20, 18:20. The soul who sins is the one who will die. So the idea is that a sinner dies.
Right.
The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't receive my dad's sins.
Right.
Or I don't receive the penalty for my dad's sins.
Right.
Sometimes I receive the consequence.
Right.
If my father was a drunkard or something,
right,
maybe I'll have liver problems, you know, whatever.
Or social problems.
You know, social problems, whatever.
Right. Right.
But a child does not, if he has no sins, he has not yet been separated from God.
Right, amen.
So if he dies, well, he's
with
still
God.
With God.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's this idea, this kind of doctrine, certainly that I grew up with when I was younger, that, you know, you've got different places you go. You know, you either can go to heaven or you can go to this place called purgatory, which is kind of a holding zone, you know. And then there's this other place called limbo where you go if you're not baptized, where little babies go, and then there's hell, you know. And yet the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches only two places for existence out of this body. One is heaven with God, and one is the darkness of hell. There's no in-between spot. And so this idea of babies, if they're innocent and not separated from God, go, and they're with God. There isn't a special spot for them. Okay, I have another question. We could talk about this, but I'd like to get through a few questions today. All right, why are there so many different methods of baptism? You sprinkle, you pour, you baptism of blood, baptism, you know, why are there so many different
baptism
ones?
Baptism for the dead.
Right.
People start changing it for a matter of convenience.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, just to, maybe it's easier, you know, if someone has a fear of water, well, should we immerse them in water? You know, it's just...
So what's that? What are you saying, though? Here's my point. You're saying something, but what are you saying?
That men are trying to convenience with the Bible.
She hasn't said it yet. We haven't hit it on the head yet, I don't think.
Because people are doing it their own way.
Yeah.
They're following their own traditions. They're saying, they come up with a hypothetical situation. What if they were in the bush, and we're in the desert? This is a good one here. A guy's in the desert, and there's no water. Will God forgive him anyway? Oh, well, absolutely. We'll take out our canteen and put water on his head. So, seeing as the exception is good, let's make it a rule.
Right.
So they just add stuff, you know, to...
I mean, the Bible is so precise, and unfortunately, sometimes we miss the precision it has in some translations. But we know that from the Greek, the word baptism means complete immersion.
Right.
So, I mean, with a little bit of research, we can find that out.
In regards to that point as well, I think that if we believe in a living God, I think that He can bring us to water. You know,
that's
my opinion. But we do believe in a
living God who's sovereign, and He can deliver us to water.
Studying with a lady who was in the hospital, who was immobile, she couldn't move. Her doctor wouldn't let her move. She understood the gospel. She loved the Lord. She wanted to be His. She wanted her sins forgiven. She wanted to be baptized, and there was no way I could baptize her. And for me, kind of a personal witness, I had to make up my mind: was I going to change the rules and say, "Oh, just this once, you know?" blink, I couldn't change the rule. So I was absolutely convinced that God is a good God. He is a God of grace and a God of mercy. And I just got down on my knees and prayed with her. I said, God, you hold this child till the time is right for her to be immersed, you know. And he did, you know. A couple of weeks later, she was immersed. She was rejoicing in God. So the idea is we have no right to change the God. God has a right to change. If he wants, he can change. But we don't have that same right to change the gospel.
But if you change in the end, he wouldn't be a just God to say, oh, well, okay, you didn't have to have baptism.
I was just kidding.
Well, just forget it this time, you know.
What's interesting about this point is often people are looking for the excuse, are not themselves placed into a situation where that thing could happen.
Right.
You know, they often say that where they have a swimming pool in their backyard or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're right. Mm-hmm. Just running away.
Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, he says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. The idea is worship isn't any good if what you're teaching is what you've made up and not exactly what the Bible teaches.
Right.
God won't accept. He won't accept your worship. I don't think he accepts. Well, I know he doesn't accept the baptism that is done or taught other than the way he's given it to us. All right, I have another question. Oh, go ahead. You have a comment?
I was just going to say that, it's such a simple thing, and people may be thinking now, well, what a bunch of legalists, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what matters? I mean, does it make a difference if it's a little sprinkle? The whole thing is the idea that counts. But if we can't, just take the word as it is for a simple thing like that,
right?
What about the more complicated
things? Yeah, amen. That's a good point.
Right.
That was worth it. That was worth waiting for. That's why. Okay, third question. Now we're getting on eggshells here, okay?
Ooh.
So are we ready again for eggshells? Sorry. Why do some people believe that baptism is not important or necessary? Some people say, hey, it is not important or not necessary unto salvation. Why do they think that?
Yeah,
Karen?
I think there's a verse that says just to repent and...
In Luke. Right.
Yeah, I can't identify which one.
Right.
13:3.
And they'll use that as the reason that if you just repent and have God in your heart, you'll...
Okay, what's the problem with that when someone does that? What mistake have they made? A good Bible study teaches us what?
Yeah, they've isolated just one verse
and
applied it to what they want.
They see the trees but not the forest.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Well, I think Morris had a good point.
Yeah, I think...
Well, I met a person who was telling me that I was depending on a work, you know. Well, obviously, we believe that we are saved by grace. We know that.
Right.
But we know that we come into contact with that grace.
Right.
Through the waters of baptism.
Okay.
It's the new covenant of Jesus Christ.
Right. Well, in all fairness, I think that a lot of people don't believe baptism is necessary in order to be saved because they sincerely believe that it's a work. You know, it's a work, and they believe that you can't go to heaven by works. Uh-huh. You know, you're only saved by grace. Okay.
John chapter 6, verse 28, if I'm not mistaken, the disciples asked Jesus, what must we do to do the works of God?
Okay.
And Jesus said, believe on the one whom he has sent.
Right.
Well, he's saying that belief itself is a work.
Right.
And so, in a sense, we're saved by works, but not works of merit. Not lighting so many candles or doing so many good deeds will get me into heaven.
Right.
It's a work that God has foreordained for us to do.
Right.
Just to accept his salvation. It was a proof of our faith.
Right. And throughout history, it's always been the same. God has always extended to man grace and pardon and help, but is always expected from man obedience in return.
Right.
I mean, there isn't one single situation where man isn't expected to obey God, and obedience is always the response of faith. You believe, you obey. Now the question is, what do you obey? Do you snap your fingers three times? Do you shout up? Do you accept Jesus into your heart? Well, those are not biblical concepts. The
That's
biblical
right.
concept and teaching is you're baptized, you're immersed for the forgiveness of sins. All right, let me ask you another question. Who can baptize another person? You didn't know I was going to ask that.
Just look who was baptizing other people. I mean, in the Bible,
exactly.
There were so many people baptizing, and if you look at the social class or their position or anything, of all the people that baptize other, you come to the realization that people from all kinds of fields were allowed to baptize as long as they were Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem is just too often we think, only the pastor or the minister or whatever. I don't believe that's what it is. I believe mm-hmm. that there's no magic in the one being, there's nothing, there's no magic in the water, there's no magic in the pool, there's no magic in the formula that you're saying, mm-hmm. and there's no magic in the one who's doing the baptizing. It's your faith, Colossians 2:12 tells us, in the power of God at the moment of your burial.
That's right.
In water.
Can a woman baptize?
Indeed.
Can a woman baptize sure. somebody else? You stay with us. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, I want to just summarize what we've talked about today. Baptism, it's for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's for everyone who repents of his sins. It's for everyone who confesses his faith. When we are baptized, we are saved, we receive forgiveness for sins, the indwelling of the Spirit, and we become members of the church. Can you find any other reasons why someone can be baptized?
Wow. You just go back
I want to thank you for being with us this week. We hope you'll be here next week for another edition of Bible Talk. Bye-bye. God bless you.